Hey, it's Coach Sarah, and welcome to Range of Change, the podcast where we dive into the pivotal moments of transformation that shape our lives. If you're looking for inspiration, insights, and real talk about navigating change, big or small, you found the right place. I'm an ICF-certified coach and a seasoned change manager with 2 decades of experience helping people and organizations thrive through life's hairy moments. Whether you're choosing to make a bold leap into a new chapter of your life, or life is choosing it for you, this community will explore how to not just survive, but thrive through change. Think of this podcast as your guide to becoming more resilient, more empowered, and ready to take on your next big change with confidence.
Wonderful. Well, Hank, thank you so much for joining me today on Range of Change. I'm super excited to hear your story. You expatriated, you lived in Germany for a decade. There are some really fun stories there, and you're now back and searching for your place of permanence for at least the next few years. I can't wait to hear the details of your story, and thank you again for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm excited to share my story.
All right, so the first thing I'm really curious about, you know, you and I were talking about how this all began. And it began almost on a whim. You were looking on a message board and you sort of followed an intuition. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it was a long, it was a long time ago. So message boards were a little different than they are now. But I guess long story short is I was a social media manager at an ad agency. And we were working with a lot of startups and kind of what's going to happen in the tech world in the early 2010s. So social media around that time was kind of, everyone's a stranger, but if you're there, maybe you could be a friend or a connection or see where your network went. And I was kind of getting itchy feet after college, you know, that first year right outside, you're like, what am I doing? Where am I going to live? You know, everything's expensive everywhere. And I was in a Facebook group. And I was really trying to find the name of it or find the group. But it was like social media marketing or something very generic and basic. But it was when Facebook added the ad platform, you got like added to this group. And there are a couple hundred people there. And someone posted a job for a social media editor in Berlin, Germany for a video streaming site. And at the time, like Netflix had obviously been around, but you know, it was that and like illegal streaming. And I read on their description, like, oh, we don't have Netflix presence isn't that big in Europe. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I looked on their site. I'm like, yeah, it sucks. It looks really bad. But the social media is really fun and the brand's cool. So I was like, all right, cool. And I went home that night and was like somewhat staying with my girlfriend, somewhat staying in my own place, and talked to her. And she mentioned again, this is the background, that she was moving to Berlin for a year to do her master's program. So I was like, all right, well, let me see what happens if I apply and we hear back. And so I DM'd, I didn't even like go on LinkedIn, I DM'd this guy. And I was like, hey man, this is what I'm doing. This is super cool. And I didn't hear anything for like a week. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Turns out that's kind of like the German speed for things is you don't get like an immediate reply a lot. People see it and then they'll be like, oh, I'll deal with it later. Or I'll deal with it when, you know, it's relevant. Ended up like getting this job. And I think it was March. And I was like, oh, I'll be there in July. And I'm just fingers crossed, like, don't scam me. Don't ruin my life. Like they didn't ask for a passport or any like vital info, but it was basically like, you got this job, you signed this PDF. And I was like, I guess this is fine. Like, you know, your trust in the world was so limited. And then with social media, you're kind of like into people's like strangers' lives and stranger stories. And like, you're deep diving into people's profiles. And I was like, yeah, I guess this is fine, right? Like, if it's fake, then I'll just go home. So yeah, we moved to Germany. And like, first day, I'd never been. I moved to Berlin. And I'm like, this is a city. This is overwhelming. This is crazy. I had been doing Duolingo, which was basically useless for a year. Like, I learned a bunch of random phrases that I never once used. And first thing is, I was like, we have to go to my office. I need to make sure it's real. And like, took a cab, I think, and the cab like couldn't afford it. It was like across the city, showed up and was like, oh wow, it's real. Like, there's people there. I was like, I guess we'll see on Monday if they really hired me, or it was like some elaborate catfish scheme. So that's kind of how that started. And it started as like a 1 year thing with my girlfriend to see if she did 1 year at Georgetown, then 1 year in Berlin, and then 1 year back in Georgetown. And I was like, oh, I'll just move back to DC, whatever. And that's how it started. So long, wacky story of like blind trust in a way.
It's amazing. I'm glad that you weren't human trafficked, and it is like a
Me
time
too.
capsule, right?
Yeah. It was a time capsule where, like, now if someone said that to me, I'd be like, bullshit. Like, I'm gonna fly there and see you first. And like, I wanna see social security cards. I wanna see like your apartment to make sure you really live there. But that was like no red flags. And I remember pinging my parents and being like, this is exactly what they tell you not to do. Like, don't talk to internet strangers. Don't do this. Don't go to their house. And yeah, I mean, I look back on that time and it was like a time capsule of like, there's, it's not critical mass of social media where everything is happening on there, but it was like big enough where you could talk to someone in a different country and not get trafficked. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what did your family and friends, what was their reaction when you told them that you were gonna up and move to Germany for a year?
I think my parents, yeah, that's a good question. I was thinking about it earlier. Is I think my parents were like, go for it, dude, whatever. Like, I think I've always been and still am like one of these people that I like having home where, like where I grew up. And that's a little bit all over the place. But I've always kind of been like, well, if everyone's doing blank, I'm gonna go mix it up. There's got to be a reason someone else would choose version C or version D. So like, yeah, I went to university. You went to the University of Colorado mainly because everyone went to school in Virginia at my high school, and I was like, I gotta get out of here. Like, let's just throw the ball far. And with Germany, I've always kind of had an interest in German history. And like the film and whatever. And for me, I was like, I got to get out of DC. The traffic here is horrible. Everyone's like in politics but me. And my friends were kind of like, yeah, whatever, man, go for it. Like, we'll see in a year. My parents were like very supportive. My dad grew up, I think he was a State Department kid. So he grew up with his parents going to different countries. And, I think they'd always thought I'd come back sooner. And for years, people would say, like, oh, when are you moving home? And I'm like, well, this is my home. All my stuff's here. Like, my phone charger's here. So what do I do now? I think it was a lot of confusion, but I think a lot of people at that time, I was like 22 or 23, are everyone's searching for their place and what you're supposed to do with your career. And you're kind of waiting for someone to tell you. In a lot of ways, you're looking in books for guidance. You're, talking to friends. You're talking to older coworkers, and no one really knows what the hell's going on. So you kind of gravitate to like those you trust almost blindly, and you just throw the ball. And for me, I luckily trusted a guy I worked with named Fred, and he, in a previous career, had traveled to Germany, I think, like weekly. Like some insane route where he'd fly in, do a meeting, fly back. And he's like, yeah, what's the worst that can happen? And I'm like, all right. And he's like, yeah, just the hamburgers there are awful. And I'm like, weird advice. And it wasn't until like a month ago where I go, you know what? They really did suck. Because you get so used to it, right? You're like, you're looking for the cool things. So I was like, yeah. This it was like a hamburger at some gas station in Idaho, and I'm like, you know what? This is probably the best hamburger I've had in 10 years. Some people are right after all. Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. So, cat out of the bag, you ended up staying longer than a year. I'm curious what happened that first year in terms of, you know, stretches, trials, triumphs that led you to decide to stay.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a fluke in a way, because I've met a lot of people over the years that haven't made it the year, or people that made it 2 years and been like, all right, I'm over this crap. I would say the bureaucratic red tape is insane. Like the paperwork, the waiting, the like visa process, the you have to have a visa to get a job, but you have to, you know, get a job, you have to have a visa already. This like fact that I had the job before I moved there was crazy. Unless you transferred in from an internal company, I didn't meet other people that had that happen, like blindly hiring someone from a different country. And I would say about the year marker, I was like, well, I just did all this crap and this sucked. Like I missed my appointment because it's the date system there is day, month, year. And here in the US, it's month, day, year. So I think my visa appointment was like March or April or something. And I flipped the two and I had, I've waited like 4 months for this moment and I missed it. I had to like tell HR, everyone laughed, you know. I mean, it's like I wasn't the first, right? And after all that, I was like, am I really going to move back? Like, what am I going to do there? I don't know. And about that time, I had a friend who was doing the teaching English thing, you know, where they move you to a different country, they teach you. He was in South Korea and he had the same wall. And he was like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I was like, oh, just my girlfriend's moving back to America for a year. You can stay in our living room. And he like came out for a week or two and I was like, yeah, I'll just stay. And I'm like, well, now I have a friend. Like German culture is tough to make the friend. It's not like here where you're friending people on Facebook and everyone's connected on LinkedIn. It's a little bit more tight knit of a group. And I was very, very young. Like I think my next youngest coworker might have been like 30 and I was 23. So I was like, American, you know, that annoying kid and an American. There were a few other Americans there, but they had kids. They were older. They like kind of knew what the hell was going on a little bit. And I honestly think having been in their position, you don't want to hear it. Like you don't want to hear all the bureaucratic bullshit of stuff that I fell into, of like how long it took me to get a driver's license, how long it took me to get a visa, how hard it is to find an apartment. Like they're over that in a way. And that's fair, right? Like, you know, the problems a 23-year-old has aren't the same as someone who's 32 and has a kid and is married. But they were all super nice. And like one of them I still talk to every day. We grew closer like years later working together. But I think after all that trouble and hassle, I was like, well, what am I going to do? Move to Denver? Like, like it almost felt like it was the same country in a way. Like the barrier stopped mattering. It was more about like the immediate culture you were in. And if that makes sense, like Berlin just felt like another place. It didn't feel like I was on the other side of the planet. And I was like, well, if I move to Seattle, I'm still going to have to find friends, you know, and find a cool grocery store and like figure out a routine. And so I kind of just stuck it out of like, well, I got a friend, my old college roommate. And I think that year really accelerated. Like, I really, you know, once you have that one friend, you can make other friends easier. You're not just the one guy. And I made a bunch of friends. One of them I'm seeing like in a week or two here on our road trip. But it was just like after that, it started spiraling, right? Like you meet other expats, you meet Germans who moved to America for a couple of years that, you know our culture a little bit. You kind of like get, you leave your neighborhood. You're not just like so enclosed in the same spot. And yeah, that was a long answer.
No, it's such a good point. I hadn't thought about, like, if you think about like the timeline, that in the beginning, it's so hard. It's so uphill. It's so much bureaucracy. It's so hard to make a friend. But then you hit that point where you just have the one friend and then you're moving, you're doing, you're out there and everything else comes so much faster.
It was like, there's a dumb moment And I always warn people that moved to Berlin. I'm like, I didn't have a phone for like 2 months because you needed the visa to get the phone contract. You needed the visa to get a bank account to pay for the phone contract. So I was just like out there, you know, like with the Wi-Fi on, pinging GPS. And I think that kind of taught me like trial by fire in a way. And then once I had the phone contract, I'm like, well, I'm locked in for 12 months. I'm not going anywhere. And then that kind of became the theme for the next few years, is like we would buy a couch or like a TV and be like, well, I'm not moving that to America. I guess we'll just stay. And it's like that kind of mentality of like, I could go at any time, or we get a coffee machine, you know, that kind of like screws with your head in a weird way.
Absolutely. And I imagine with each one of those milestones from the couch to the coffee maker, you're just more immersed in the culture. It starts to feel like home more than the place you left.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, luckily in college, like I had the collection of crap from all the roommates and the furniture from our parents. And when you're doing your own thing, like everyone on the planet, like you start to get attached to things. And there's an old IKEA ad. I don't know if you know it. And this, I know this is a podcast, but I'm going to visually do it. But this guy takes out a box of old furniture and there's like a lamp on the side of the street. And the lamp's like looking sad and it starts raining. And there's a voiceover that's like, why do you care? It's just a lamp. Like, get something new. And that in my head always hit, because you have such a weird attachment to stuff and things. And I liked my stuff and things. Like, we had a cool couch. We had, like, I don't know, some cool kitchen gadgets and, like, a huge American fridge, not the little tiny European ones. But I was like, yeah, we can't move because I'm not going to take this with me. Or, like, oh, I just bought a bunch of new clothes that kind of fit here better than the U.S. I guess I'll stay. And you to get over that mental barrier of, like, everything's temporary. I could leave at any point. Like, I could get a new job in London. I could, you know, something could happen with my family and I move back to Virginia. Like, that didn't hit until COVID. And I think when we were locked down in the apartment, we're like, we got to get real shit. Not, you know, like Craigslist purchases or like friends' crap they didn't want when they moved. Like, we need real furniture. And that's maybe like 2020. Is when things started to be like, this is home. I'm a Berliner. I'm not just some guy. And it took, you know, 6 years, but your brain kept just like looking for an escape almost. Like, we always had enough cash to buy a flight out. And I'm like, that's not a good way to live, right? You're just like constantly looking over your shoulders and not, yeah.
It's so interesting, because I feel like that's a part of the like moving out of that like post-college age, is you don't feel so transient anymore, even though a lot of us move, but somehow doing it in the States, it doesn't have that same like we could flee at a moment's notice feeling that it sounds like you're describing.
Yeah, I think that's what I missed a lot. And like talking with friends who are like, just move or like get a new apartment, is like, I almost didn't want the hassle. In a way, like the dust settled and I didn't want to like sweep up the crumbs because I didn't want to restart the whole thing again. And I missed that shuffle in the US where like in college you could move every semester if you wanted, right? Like, you just do it and you change your address on Amazon and it's official, right? Because that's the database we have. But in Germany, you got to go to like City Hall. You got to change your IDs. You got to change, like, you have to submit real physical letters to some places to change your address. Like, we ended up moving in 2021 to a home we bought, and I'm still changing addresses. And it's like, I'll like go to log in and be like, oh, wow, I need to, you know, maybe I'll have a trip to Berlin. I need to change like the public transport ticket. I'm like, this is my old address from like 5 years ago, dude. What? And it's like, to change this, you have to send us a letter. I'm like, no, never mind. Like, I'm done. So I think that like weird transient vibe kind of knocked out of me in a way, but it was more like, physically I can leave, but like to get all our crap out and to get out of the system is going to take a long time. I'm just not going to deal with it. So it was a little bit of like fatigue, laziness, and also like, this is fine, so why change it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in the fact that, you moved there with a girlfriend. She then moved back to finish her grad school program. Presumably, you guys talked about this and she was game to move back yet again. And then you guys collectively made that will we stay, will we go decision over and over again for a decade. I mean, how on the same page are you two? Talk about your relationship goals.
It's pretty funny. I mean, like, she moved back and like had to take all our textbooks and everything, and we like, I took her to the airport and was like, we're gonna have to pay more money than we have to check all these bags. And then when she came back for Christmas, I think that year, you know, I left all her stuff in the apartment the way it was. So whenever I'd have friends come and hang out, they'd be like, oh, does someone else live here? I'm like, no. There was once, you know, like there was someone. But when she came back, she's like, oh, cool. Like nothing changed. You know, it had been like four or five months. And during that time period, I was also traveling a lot for work back to the US. So I would like fly to LA or fly to New York or fly to Toronto and then pop into DC, see my family, see her, come back. And then when she came back in May of 2016, I was like, well, here's everything. You know, it was never like there was a convo of like, are you moving back or I'm going there? It's like, well, let's just pick back up. And maybe that's how it worked out so well, is it wasn't like, oh, if I move back, let's find a new apartment. Or like, hey, if I move back, let's move to Munich. It was just like, pause, back. And I think that worked out a lot. There were a few times in those years, you know, I think of things before COVID, where we're like, hey, maybe there's another cool city, you know, like I can move to London. Oh, these stupid emotes, but I can move to London. I can move to Ireland, like whatever. And then once you start like digging into it, you're like, am I going to go through this whole process again? You know? And for us, you know, we talked about moving back during COVID because it was crazy and we were sitting in an apartment all day and there was curfew briefly. And I'm like, this is nuts. I just want to be like on a farm in Virginia or something. And it wasn't until like Christmas of 2023, or New Year's, where we're like, okay, the winters here suck. Everyone leaves. It's 30 degrees every day for like 4 or 5 months. And I don't want to be in a city anymore. And she's like, great, let's find somewhere else. And we were looking and looking and looking. You're like, all right, do we move to the countryside? You're like, what about our friends? What about this? Like, will people visit us? And it was so much like unknown, and not in a good way, where, you know, there's unknown of like walking into the mist and being like, there'll be something on the other side. This was more like, where's the mist? Where am I even walking? Can I ride a bike? I don't know. And I think that drove us crazy. Like I applied for some jobs in like Spain and Portugal and was like, I've never even been. Like, what am I can't do this again. I'm too old for this crap. I have a dog. And I think for her, in her like credit, she was just like, we'll figure it out. You know, like what's the worst that can happen? You just go back to your apartment in Berlin, you know, or like you go home or, and there was a weird moment, I don't remember what it's from, but like the band, the Foo Fighters, I know Dave Grohl's like controversial now, but he has some quote that's like, no matter what happened on tour or whatever, I know I could always go back to my mom's house. And I'm like, there you go. We got two moms. I got a mom, you got a mom, and our dads are there too. But you know, the mom's quote thing where I was like, what if we just do that? Like, I just go stay at our parents' house and just like sit there. And that's kind of how it came out. It was like, it wasn't like a, I hate this place, I need to leave. It was more just like, you turn the page and you're like, next chapter says a different title than Berlin. And then I think for her too, I was like, oh, I have a job lined up, the place that I quit before I moved. You don't have to work for at least a year And she's like, all right, let's go. So
sign me up.
Yeah, she's like, I need to get out of here. I'm done. So yeah, it was a little bit of blind faith and also just like, yeah, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, there's a lot of bad things that can happen, but very slow, steady change, not dramatic change, was the key.
Nice. Yeah. So it sounds like you guys were kind of up for anything in that moment, but you knew that a change had come. Like you were ready for something different. And now you're back in the States and mm-hmm. you've re-entered the transient stage. You're just sort of exploring right now. Is that correct?
Right back to it. Right. Like, yeah, it's a good way to put it. Like change had to happen. We would have like combos with our friends, combos with like her brothers and their families and be like, what are we doing? Is everyone going to, are we going to start like a cult? Like, are we all moving to a beach somewhere and like naming a community Hanktown or something just had to happen, right? Like we're in downtown Berlin. We would always go on these trips that weren't to another city. They were always to like hikes or like, you know, a town that's 4 hours from an airport. And it's like, this is ridiculous. There's so much crap out there, but it's just not in the proximity of Berlin. So I think for us, we kind of watched enviously as people traveled across the country during COVID in their camper vans and RVs and tents and converted vans. And I'm like, well, everyone's doing it then. No one's really doing it now as much. I don't see it as much. What if we just do that? And my wife's like, be kind of funny. I'm like, it would be kind of funny. Like, you just buy everyone's stuff they don't want anymore. But they already did it. And then you're just, and the more you start saying it out loud, it becomes real and you kind of like manifest it. Where be having a combo with a friend, they're like, oh, we did that. Like during COVID, we left Germany and went to America for 6 months and drove around. I'm like, how did I not? You know, because you're on different wavelengths all the time. And I'm like, not following everyone's life on social media. And I'm like, how did I miss that? You were just kind of gone, but I guess everyone was kind of gone during COVID. You weren't hanging out as groups. And we kind of just like, I mean, we started moving, I want to say in like April or March of 2024 and got on a plane in October. So it was like how long it took to ship all our stuff, to sell stuff, to, you know, find someone to rent our apartment. But it was a lot of change and you show back up to America and you're like, not that you want like confetti going off when you land, but we're like with our dog and I'm like, well, what do you want me to do now? Like, at least in Germany, there's like a playbook that's like find apartment. Step one, step two, register with the city. Step three, get a bank account. You know, like in America, you kind of just show up and you're like, you know, I don't need a visa, but my mom was like, we should get your driver's license. I'm like, okay. You're like, that's our main ID in America, right? You don't carry around like your national visa or your passport. Like no one cares. They just want your driver's license. And it was like, oh, I got to get a cell phone. What companies are good? And they're like, they're all the same. I'm like, yeah, like in Germany, there's like a hierarchy of like, if you're in this area, you probably want this, you probably want that. Like what bank account doesn't matter. I'm like, all right, like we're off to a good start. And the things that took me months and I dreaded for years doing, take an afternoon in America, if you're already an American citizen. And I don't think any friend has gone through the mind dump of like, what's a high yield savings account? Everyone's like, why don't you have one? I'm like, I don't know. We just don't have those. Or like, you're like, what do I even do on a W-9? Like, I have no idea. But it's like, it's shit people figure out along the way. And I just never, I can do it in Germany, but I can't do it here. And I still hit these barriers. And so does my wife, where we're like, we had a branch fall on our car. And I was like, all right, there's some damage. Oh, well. My parents are like, you need to call insurance. I'm like, oh yeah, that'd be a thing to do. Like, okay. So it's a lot of Googling, a lot of like asking friends like, hey man, what deodorant brand do you have? And the guy's like, weird question. But probably this one. I'm like, all right. You know, cause we're just in the store and like, we kind of, some of the brands are the same, some of the stuff is kind of similar, but you're like, you know, sometimes we see something and we're like, $10 for cherries. Okay. Like, we have no reference point. It's almost just like, huh, don't know what that is. All right, let's just buy it. And then you go home and you're like, yeah, we overpaid, or like, wow, this is the crap product, you know, or it's a little goofy, but you're on home turf. So it almost feels like what could go wrong in a way, versus like in Germany, we're like, okay, well, let me ask a coworker, or let me find a friend who speaks German that can call this guy, or like, I guess I'll just go to the office and ask them. You know, here you can just call someone and have a combo. So it's a little bit easier and quicker, but just different.
It's so interesting because, you know, obviously you're an American citizen, but you've spent the largest part of your adult life in another country. So I'm curious, does this feel like a homecoming? Do you feel like more of a foreigner now or when you went to Germany?
This is a good question. Like, my wife and I joke about this a lot. And I'm like, I think you always feel like, you know, when you're watching a cartoon as a kid and there's always like the background characters and one's like overly animated and you're like, okay, that's the one that's going to move around. That's kind of how we feel. Like, some places we go somewhere and I'm like, I feel like an alien, you know? And then I'll be like, oh, those people kind of look friendly and cool. And we'll hear them speaking German and we're like, ah, shit. Like, that's funny, you know, of all people here, we're like, oh, they look like they're also tourists. And we're like, oh, they're the only other German people at this entire place. But I didn't feel like there was a homecoming, and even seeing friends again after years, or like reconnecting with people that the time zone was just too wacky with 9 hours or whatever. It was more just like, I feel like things hit pause and you kind of come back and you're like sorting through all your crap you left, you know, in your friend's basement, or like, yeah, you know, I left guitars at my parents' house, and like my wife left like her books at her parents' house, and you're like, why did I keep all this? Like 10 years passed. It wasn't like you came home and you're like given a box of your belongings and you're like, here's your stuff back. It's more just like, would you want the clothes you had 10 years ago? Probably not. Right. But we just didn't think about it. We're like, my old bed sheets and pillow were in a box. And I'm like, this needs to go in the trash now. But like old socks and stuff, there was never a homecoming. It was more like, well, what do you want me to do now? Like, you got to buy a car. You got to do everything that everyone else did in the last 10 years. You got to figure it out like now. Like,
yeah.
And I think that was just so overwhelming at first, where you're like, at least in Germany, they know you're new and they know you don't really know what's going on because you're not German. And here it's more like this expectation that because you're American, you must have already done XYZ, or like,
of course.
Oh, of course you have this. Like, we went to buy a car and they were like running our credit and they like could not find my wife. Like, she has a social security number. She's an American, but she's just got like really weak credit, I guess. And she, like, her score is fine and whatever. And we were like looking at it on the app, Experian or whatever. And they're like, you just don't exist. You're just not in here. And I'm like, that's like a problem our friends don't have, you know? And then they're like, well, you can like write us a check. I'm like, we don't have checks, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's all these things that should have happened over a longer stretch of time than just like, oh shit, we got to file our taxes. You know, it's like a different system in Germany. And like, I need to find like an accountant. I ask people at work, and it's weirder than I thought. I actually think it's almost harder in a way coming to America than it is to Germany, because Germany at the time was a huge mixing pot of people coming from all over the world. And everyone's kind of looking for their place in this new culture. Who are expats and also Germans in general. And there was like a process for it. There's almost like a checklist. You could Google it, like moving to Germany checklist. Coming to America, I'm like, I know the visa process here is insane. I can see the news, but you're not really given what you're supposed to do. You're more like expected to figure it out. And sometimes we just don't. we're just like, I don't know. I'm like, can I ask someone at a campsite? You know what I mean? Like the least trustworthy source. So it's like, yeah. I mean, it's a weird thing. It's totally weird.
Absolutely. Fascinating to imagine that feeling of being home and feeling completely out of sorts because you don't literally know how to do the things. I'm also curious what America feels like to you now. If you left, I'm guessing maybe when Obama was in office, a mm-hmm. long time ago, social media was a different place, the whole time capsule. So you've now landed post-pandemic, which is its own crazy like time warp. And the country, I imagine, is a different place. I mean, has it defied or exceeded your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, this is the weird thing is like, we left during Obama. I think during that time, there's like the whole net neutrality thing of like, you have to pay mm-hmm. for the internet fast lane. And I was like, you know, F this. This would destroy my entire career in social media if people have to pay to use these tools. I was like, well, they're clearly going to make it happen. Like they've tried five different bills to make this pass. Like I got to get out of Dodge. Like that was kind of in the back of my head too. And, you know, we obviously see the news, but we only see like the extremes, right? We see the shootings, mm-hmm. we see the crazy protests, we see the riots. We don't see the good and we don't see the local news of like the dog that gets saved or the kid who had a great day at school. Like you never see those feel good pieces because no one really cares outside of that community or outside of that system, right? Like you never get news in Germany unless it's political or something really wacky, crazy. And
yeah,
there's a lot of really wacky, crazy news there, but you don't know about like our city ordinances or the park that just opened. And looking into America from that perspective, you're like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is a Wild West movie. People are nuts. Like, yeah. There's a car on fire. Apparently, if I own a Kia, someone's going to steal it from me. You know, like, I don't know. And I showed up. When we decided to move, I, like, flew in to meet, like, my coworkers that I already knew, but, like, flew into America. And I was asking the Uber driver who had a Toyota. And I was like, oh, man, do you like this car? He's like, yeah, man, it's crazy. You can't be buying anything else these days. I'm like, why? Like, I don't know. I don't know if this is a joke or not. But coming into America, we're like, okay, everyone's going to talk to me about politics. Everyone, I assume. That's all I see in the news, right?
Right.
I either need a red hat or I need a blue shirt. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, are people going to think we're weird because we drive a truck? Like, and we get here and we find out, like, at least for us, I mean, we're both white, but I'm like, no one cares. Like, the average person is just minding their own business. And it's kind of crazy. And when we say, like, hey, we moved here last October, everyone's like, wow, crazy time to move to America. And I don't know like what side that means. Crazy, awesome for me because my guy won, or crazy because this is fucking nuts. And you never know how to judge that. And also like our social skills with dealing with that have never come up in 10 years. So we're always like, yep, cool. And you like the combo just shuts off. But you're talking to like, you know, people who have been retired for years, and you're talking to people our age, and you're at a campground, and you're like, we're all mixing, and we're all kind of hoping you don't steal our stuff. We're in an RV right now, and everyone's talking to you about all the cool things they've done in America. And I'm like, man, you seem like a cool person. Like, no one's been aggressive to us. We haven't had a gun waved in our face. Like, our car hasn't had a Molotov cocktail thrown in it. Like, no one stormed our apartment, you know? So it's like, I'm sure the news is real. I'm not doubting that at all, but I'm like, that's sensationalism, right? And it's also like the social media 101 is people want controversy and people gravitate to things that they can get upset about. And there's a lot to be upset about, but it's also like your daily life continues. And like when you're in this random town in the middle of Oregon, you're like, there's no Trump flags out. There's no any political affiliation. They're just doing their own thing. They run a winery. That's just what they do. And you're like, that's life. That's life for thousands of years. Is not all of us were in the Crusades, right? Like there were people just picking it and farming, and like there's beauty in that. And I feel like I get asked that question a lot moving from Berlin, which is super crazy liberal in a great way. People are like, how do you navigate it? And I'm like, it just doesn't come up. And I was so afraid, and it sucks. And I read the news, and obviously we're staying in national parks and public lands all the time. And I'm like, there's 400 million of us. Like, you even look at who voted, and it's not 400 million. Mm-hmm. It's like a small, and you're like, is this just the reality we live in Germany or in America or in Japan or wherever? And it's a really long answer, but I'm like, it almost just doesn't matter for me in my own microcosm of like, this doesn't change that I got to get up tomorrow morning and walk my dog. Like I can be out all night protesting and writing letters to my senators. I still got to get up in the morning and hang out with my dog and eat breakfast and do whatever. And that doesn't change from Germany. Like I was still just as like trying to figure out what the hell was going on in German politics. And you're upset at certain things. You're pissed. I would see like our local congressman out and about in our neighborhood. And I'm like, I don't know if he's kind of a dick or not. You know, like his politics are so wacky, obscure, and they have like a different parliamentary system there. And I was like, I'm going to read about this guy. That never changes, but I'm like, I still got to like log on to the 8 a.m. phone call, you know? So to answer your question, I kind of just like put my head down and tried to focus on us rather than like, I'll have days where I just like doom scroll. And I'm like, well, did I make the right decision? Should we go back to Germany? Like, I don't know what's going on. Are people going to hate us? But yeah, I don't know. It's maybe like controversial to say, but I'm like, I got to figure out my own shit first before I can figure out what's wrong with the country.
So, right. Your own face mask, then the country's face mask.
Oh my God. Yeah. That too in COVID was wacky in Germany, where you're like, we're all wearing face masks. We're here. We're all doing it as a community. And then someone would pass you in the apartment stairs not wearing it. And you're like, I can't go outside for the next 3 weeks. I guess I have COVID. You're like, it was just, I'm like, how did Americans get COVID that aren't in a city? Like you have yards. We didn't even have yards. Like we're all in the same building. But yeah, it's a different podcast, but.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And
one that needs to be made. What a time. So I have to I think it's super cool that you guys are doing the RV exploration campsite thing now. Like I didn't partake in that during COVID, but I imagine that there is something a lot more authentic about what you're doing than when just everyone was doing it. So that was just kind of part of the vibe, is half the people you're going to meet are just other people doing the same thing as you, where you are interacting, like you said, with retirees and families and people that are just out there living their life the same as you. What has this been like? What are you learning about yourselves and where you think you're going to end up?
That's a good question. We got so jealous during COVID of people doing it that we rented an RV and drove to a high school friend of mine who lives in northern Sweden. So we drove from Berlin to Sweden. We were in a bigger RV and I was like, oh, we don't need this much space. But this is cool. I like the nature. I like the get up and go. For us now, I think it's made us realize how little you actually need. We don't need like, you know, some insane huge trailer. Like we're not doing it year round. We also don't have kids. But you're kind of just like, well, I'll make this table that I'm in now work for like eating, working, and watching a movie. And like, we have a good routine figured out, and it almost feels like more comforting than staying at friends or family, because you don't feel like you're intruding, but you also feel like this is like mobile home base. Like one day it's a beach, one day it's just like a crappy parking lot. But you're like, it's a snippet of people, right? It's a subgroup of a subgroup of a subgroup of like, they're not only people in the Pacific Northwest currently, but there's people that have the mobility to work remote or are retired. And you're like, okay, that narrows down the crowd a lot. Okay, it's also people that want to be in national parks, not in like more designated campsites. okay, that's even more narrow. Okay, it's people that have like a vehicle that's like heavy duty enough to go down this gravel driveway. Okay, that's even smaller. So it's not like the general public in a way, but you're also just like, this is such like a weird community of people that kind of just want to do their own thing. But we're all doing the same thing. We all have almost the same trailer hitch. Like everyone's got the same camping chairs, but it's cool. I mean, like there's a lot of times where we're like, oh, I could get like a slightly bigger one and keep doing this. But you also get to a point where you're somewhere for like a week and you're like, we should just stay. I'm like, no, we either got to stay now or keep moving, but you can't circle back. And you know what I mean? Where you're like, if we're either in full exploration mode or you unpack. But I made a joke. It's like going on vacation somewhere, having your first dinner in a town, and then going there the second time on the last night is never as good. It's always the best the first time you're there. So you're like, either do the encore then or, you know, keep rolling. So we like it. I think Europe prepared us for like smaller living spaces than we were used to. But you're also like, there's a dog here and he's like currently like on our bed, which is behind this curtain. And he's just there all day watching out the window. So it's fun, but it's, I don't think I could do it full time. I think it gets a little crazy.
Yeah. Nice. So have you guys learned that you need to be near the water or you need, like, are you, is this helping you to narrow down where you think you're going to end up, I guess is my question.
It's narrowing it down a lot because I think leaving the city, we were like smack in the middle of Berlin. And if you want to drive to nature, you're like pointing in a direction for 30, 40 minutes. And then there's parks and stuff, but that's not the same. We were thinking like, all right, my wife is from Colorado. I went to school there. Like, what about the mountains? And I grew up on the water. I grew up on the Chesapeake Bay. And we were always kind of like mountain vibing. Like we were in like Teton, we were in Yellowstone. We're like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is beautiful. And then when we saw the ocean, I'm like, you know, like that part of your childhood, like reactivates where you're like, I do love seafood. I do love fishing culture. I do love all these insane boats that people work on and live on and do whatever. And I love like the stories of navigation and I know all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I was telling my wife last night, I'm like, I think the next chapter is on the water somewhere, but not a big city, you know, like somewhere manageable. So, but it's teaching us like random things like city over 100,000. I'm like, that's maybe just too big where you may as well just be in the greater city, you know, like, okay, we need to be within 3 hours of a good airport. Like, I don't want to have to, you know, do a multi-day trip to fly to DC or to Berlin or whatever. Like love it if there's people our age. That's cool. Like we go some places and we're like, we're clearly the people passing through. I don't think they have fancy coffee. You know, like I don't think that's gonna happen. You know, or like random things. Like I think there's just the grocery store. And if you don't like it, you gotta drive 30 minutes somewhere else. So a little bit of the illusion of choice would be nice.
All right. My last question for you. I found this to be so fascinating and you strike me as someone who has taken the path less traveled more than once, sort of trusting your intuition, going out, adventuring, which is amazing. And I think it's how so many people aspire to live their lives. So do you have advice for people that are teetering on the verge of wanting to make a big move or wanting to take a sort of sabbatical and wander or any other big change they're contemplating?
Yeah, I do. I see the, I think it's a subreddit called like the grass is greener or something of people or like I want out and it's people that want to leave their country. I'd say it's a lot easier than you think. And for years I made excuses, you know, of like, well, I'm doing the college thing or I'm, you know, I'm just going to go where my friends are going. And people are like, oh, it's so expensive. I'm like, well, for me, it was just the flight there. Like I got a job just if I moved to Denver or San Francisco or whatever, you need to have the job. But once I showed up, I'm like, well, everyone's paying rent, you know, like it almost the mental barrier was me, and it was the fear of the unknown and uncertainty and not finding someone you could trust to be there to say like, okay, that's a scam, or like, hey, you don't want to live in that neighborhood, you want to live over here. Or and I've had people that have become friends that move there and reach out to me through LinkedIn or the alumni network or whatever, and seeing them like thrive in Berlin is crazy. Cause I'm like, man, it's so, you got your phone today. That's wild. Like, we'll just go and get them a phone plan or like an internet, you know, like Wi-Fi. And I'm like, man, that took me months, but I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And the system was different. And I was like, just sign up for a bank online. Like, they didn't have that when we moved there. Mm. So I'd say a lot of things you can do before you even leave your house, and, you know, Google it. Someone's done it before. Ask ChatGPT, like, hey, I want to move to Germany. What do I need to do? But even buying a house there, I thought it was insane. And I just like looked on people's blogs and they had all done it. And I'm like, well, someone, if you do it wrong, of all people on the planet, if you're doing it slightly wrong, Germans will tell you that you're doing it wrong. But, you know, like, we've had friends move to Singapore, I had a friend move to Japan. It's like, do it and see if you like it. You can regret that, but you'll never be able to, like, you know, not do it and look back and think, ah, dang, what if? And just like have a backup plan, I guess. If it sucks, no, you can go crash with a friend in Denver or Albuquerque or wherever that be.
Mom's couch is always there, right?
mom's couch is always there. Book a return flight. But yeah, at the same time, it's like, you know, you hear these like tragic stories, you know, of what happens in life as you get older and what happens to just like our bodies and our minds. And you're like, I was always in this mindset, like, I have to prepare for my future. Even as like a 22-year-old, 21-year-old, I'm like, I got to get a career and I got to figure out what a mortgage is quick. And I never like stopped to like live in the now. And I don't think it was maybe until 2018 or 2019 that I just like, I had a friend tell me like, you can like linger on the past and you can like be anxious about the future, but if you don't focus on now, both of those are going to be messed up. He had a nicer way to say it, but basically it made me like think about like, oh, I am in a cool spot. I should explore more here. Like, I moved to Germany and immediately got to work. We never like explored the neighboring areas. We never did like the cliche German trips. Like, there's still places in Germany that I've never been that like tourists there for a week would have gone to, because I just put my head down and I was like, here's another day. It was never like living in the moment. And I would say to people that want to do it, like, live in the moment, go there, take a gap year between college if you can. Like, I wish I did. But like, take yourself out of your comfort zone. Maybe you really like it. And if it sucks, don't do it again. So, yeah.
I love it. And I hope, I think you're living in the moment now. With this
Hopefully.
Trip.
Yeah, definitely day to day living in the moment. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for taking all this time to talk with me. It's been really fun. I love this story. Thank you for sharing your story of change and really giving this inspiration to let people know that they should just do it.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Thanks for hearing my story. And yeah, like, if the change is only from yourself, right? Like, no, like I said, my biggest takeaway is I kept waiting for someone to tell me, and I just never told myself until I moved to Germany. And then that's how I trust it now. Now my dog and my wife tell me, so then I can go back to backseat driving. So
awesome. Thank you again, Hank. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Same to you.
Bye now. All right. Thank you so much for listening to today's conversation with Hank. What I love about this story is that on the surface, it just sounds like an adventure. A young guy takes a risk, moves to Berlin on a hunch, possibly for a girl, ends up staying for a decade, and is now traveling the US by RV. If you really listen, I think that you hear something deeper and what change actually feels like while you're living it. Change isn't just one big cinematic leap. It's dozens of small decisions And sometimes these are born of excitement, sometimes out of stubbornness. I know that one well. Sometimes because you feel that you just can't face doing the paperwork to leave. It's the moment that you sign a lease or buy a couch and realize that you're staying. You learn to navigate systems that you didn't think you could, maybe that weren't even designed for you. It's realizing that you don't feel at home in either place, and figuring out that home can be something that you build slowly in conversation with people that you care about, and maybe even something that you carry with you. And for Hank, I think it's also about trust. Trusting his gut in the beginning, for sure. Trusting that he and his girlfriend and eventual wife could keep renegotiating their plans over and over successfully throughout time. And trusting, even without certainty, that you can still choose to move forward and navigate that leap. And I think that's the real invitation for all of us within Hank's story. It's not to move to Berlin or to buy an RV, but really to ask, where in my life am I waiting for certainty before I act? Where might I need to just trust myself a little bit more? Change is rarely easy. It's rarely linear. It's rarely perfect. But if you're willing to be in that space of uncertainty, if you're willing to be open to what may come, adaptive when things are not how you want them exactly, you can create a life that is truly your own. So if you're listening to this and you find yourself standing at one of those crossroads, wondering what's next or how to navigate your own pivotal moment of change, I'd love to talk. You'll find links in the show notes to learn more about my coaching programs and to book a discovery call with me. Thank you again to Hank for sharing your story. It was a lot of fun. You are truly living an inspirational life, and we appreciate you spending time with me today on Range of Change. Until next time.